proofs, and all his worldly belongings were in an oilskin bag at his feet. There was no indication as to how he'd arrived. He hadn't driven himself. There was no car. But somehow Jem Roscoe, adventurer, sailor, and legend, had arrived in their midst. He told them that he'd rented one of the cottages that climbed up the bank behind the pub. "But I was desperate for a pint, boys, so I called in here on my way." A wink. Harry Carter, the landlord, couldn't tell if the wink was meant to indicate that this was a lie, a joke, or to include the other customers standing at the bar in his desire for a drink. They too, the wink seemed to imply, must know how it felt to be so desperate for a pint that they wouldn't drop a heavy bag off first. Roscoe had 2 pints of local cloudy cider. Then he slung the bag, which was big enough to hold a child, onto his back and was on his way. He was in the Maidens every night after that. There was never a specific time. He'd appear suddenly, all smiles. Sometimes he'd stay at the bar, chin-wagging with Harry. Other nights he'd drift around the room, landing at a table, the playgroup mums on their regular night out, or an elderly couple playing dominoes by the fire, like a piece of flotsam washed up by the tide. He was always friendly, always chatty, but he never really gave anything away. When anyone asked if the move to Greystone was permanent, or if he was there on a holiday, planning another journey perhaps, he'd only touch the side of his nose and grin. "I'm here to meet someone. Someone special. I'm expecting them any day." He never stayed for more than 2 pints, and then he was off again. Sometimes with a little wave to the other customers, sometimes just disappearing, so that suddenly they realised he was no longer there. They all knew which cottage he'd rented. It was at the end of the terrace, right on the top of the hill, owned by Gwen Gregory, who'd grown up at Ravenscroft Farm, and who cleaned in the Maidens. It had the view across the village to the sea. Nobody had any need to walk past it. Beyond the single row of houses, there were only the remains of the quarry, which was the original reason for the village's existence. But now people walked past the house anyway, out of curiosity. They were interested to know if Jem Roscoe's mysterious visitor had arrived yet. They'd seen the man sometimes looking out of the upstairs window, focused on the horizon, as if he was watching for a boat. Even in this stormy weather, a skilled sailor might float in and tie up at the jetty. There were 2 curved piers to shelter the narrow bay, built when stone from the quarry was carried out on big flat barges. People said that one of his madcap adventuring friends would appear, or the woman he was waiting for, because most of the villagers had convinced themselves that it would be a woman. Then one night, a few weeks after his arrival, Jem Roscoe didn't come to the Maidens for his usual 2 pints of rough cider. The regulars immediately noticed his absence. They chatted amongst themselves and speculated that perhaps the expected visitor had finally arrived. Perhaps old Jem would bring the stranger into the bar the following night, and finally they'd know what all the secrecy was about. But Jem Roscoe didn't appear again. They felt cheated. He might be an outsider, but for a while he'd become part of the community. He was a celebrity who'd been on television, sharing his travels, making his way up the Amazon, sailing single-handedly around the southern oceans with the world. Part of his glory had rubbed off on them, but now the excitement was over. Until the following morning, when the Coast Guard received an emergency call from a fishing boat in difficulty, sheltering from the storm in the lee of Scully Head. Then, it seemed, the excitement had only just started. Chapter 2. Mary Ford was woken by her pager. She looked at the bedside clock. 5 in the morning. She'd marked herself as available on the lifeboat rotor because her father was staying, and there'd be someone to look after the kids if she were called out. Time was slipping away for adventures like these. Soon Arthur would need a full-time carer, and she couldn't expect her dad always to be there. So, she'd thought, she'd best make the most of it while she could. She was out of bed and dressed, almost without thinking. She loved this. The excitement of a shout, the camaraderie and laughter with the guys, and she was helm now. Almost 3 years of training and she was in charge. In a place like Greystone, a woman in charge didn't happen very often. Sammy Barton was lifeboat operations manager this morning, and he'd like it even less than the others. But Sammy could stuff it. She knocked at her father's door. He'd most likely be awake already. Since Mary's mother had died, the man slept poorly. Mary often saw his light on in the early hours and knew that he was scrolling down his phone. Sometimes she heard the buzz of the radio.